Oh, aren't you glad you love that name tonight? Praise the Lord. How many of you are glad to be identified with the name of Jesus? It's the greatest name that's ever been uttered on the lips of man. The precious name of the Lord Jesus. Isn't it good to be in the house of God tonight? What these Wednesday night services are doing for us is just, it's just amazing, isn't it? Are you glad to be back at camp meeting one more time? Praise the Lord. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Wednesday night. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. Brethren, play some more of that if you will. Let's sing a little bit more of that tonight. Say praise the Lord. Amen. The greatest name that's ever been mentioned. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm so glad that I'm not ashamed of it. I'd be ashamed if I wasn't identified with it. Wouldn't you? To be identified with the name of Christ. To be identified with what He's doing in the earth right now. I'm so thankful that He let me be part of it. Aren't you glad that you're part of it? Wherever you're at in that picture that God painted before the foundation of the world, don't really matter where you're at as long as you're in the picture. I just want to be in the picture, don't you? Are you glad you're in the picture tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him tonight. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. The other name I know. Well, there's victory in that wonderful name of that wonderful name of Jesus. Victory in that wonderful name of Jesus. The other name I know. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes tonight while we look at our prayer request. Brother, Sister Kaylee Belanger says to please pray for the comfort of the family of Timmy Mann. They're all meeting at the hospital tonight. to take him off life support. So let's just pray that the Lord would comfort their hearts as they face the times that they're going to be facing here in the next few days. Brother Joel Moyer says to please remember his wife in prayer. She is scheduled for surgery next week. Also, he has an unspoken prayer request that he'd like for you to pray about. Brother Keith Phillips has an unspoken prayer request. We'll just commit unto the Lord tonight. Sister Linda Jablonski says to please pray for my sister Carol and her son Brandon in Maryland. They need prayer for a special unspoken request. We'll just commit it unto the Lord. Sister Patsy Gladfelter wants to thank the church for praying for her and all who are helping her get her life lined back up with the Word of God. So we just praise the Lord for that. Pray that God would help her. I want to pray for a very urgent request tonight, unspoken prayer request that the Lord knows all about. We'll just commit that unto the Lord. Continue to pray for Sister Linda Phillips. They're continuing to do tests, trying to find out what her problem is. So we'll just commit her to the Lord. Sister Janet Kennedy wants us to remember Brother Eugene in prayer. His left ear has been bothering him quite a bit, so let's remember that need tonight. Brother Eric Krause's sister, his sister's son Ian, left home about a week ago and nobody knows where he is. Please pray that he will contact his mother, so let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Sister Lois Jantz wants us to remember her father in prayer, Elmer Bowling. Just many physical needs, health really failing him. Let's just commit him unto the Lord tonight. I want to pray for Brother Randy Babb, suffering from another kidney stone and a lot of pain tonight. So let's remember him as we pray. I want to pray for Sister Judy Allen from North Carolina. She had a stroke today, so they're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight. As we pray, just commit these things unto the Lord. If you have an unspoken prayer request you'd like for this group to pray about, you believe we're serving a God that can answer prayer? Amen. You believe it with all your heart. Yes, Brother Dan, good to see you in the service tonight. Hope you're feeling better. God bless you. Certainly glad to see you and Sister Dan in service tonight. Appreciate those folks so much. We just really appreciate them. Well, we just appreciate God's people, don't we? Also, somebody says that Brother Charlie Torres finally had another birthday, and he has turned 93 years old. We love and appreciate that guy right there, don't we? Amen. Amen. We usually put all the birthday announcements on the bulletin board, and that's all well and good, and we try to do that and go with the rules, but sometimes you just have to break a rule every now and then for somebody as old as Brother Charlie. But we appreciate our brother. We love him with all of our heart. He means so much. He and Sister Chevy mean so much to this assembly. And I appreciate him. I want you to know. I'm going to give you a rose while you can smell it tonight. Is that all right? We appreciate you, buddy. God, we appreciate all of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet tonight as we get ready to pray. We just want to commit these things unto the Lord. We know that we're serving a God that's very much aware of whatever you're going through right now. And he very much cares about whatever your need may be. Sometimes we seem like and we feel like when we pray we're hitting a wall. Our needs seem like nobody can do anything about them. But aren't you so glad that you're serving a risen Savior that can take your needs. And he may not answer you exactly when you think he should. But he knows what your problem is. And in his own season and in his own time, he'll take care of you. Do you believe that with all? Have you ever been disappointed in the Lord? No. None of us have ever been disappointed. I appreciate a Savior like that, don't you? Brother Rob, come tonight if you would. Lead us to the Lord. Let's just commit these things unto our Lord. Appreciate you, buddy. We love this brother right here too, don't we? Amen. God bless you, buddy.
Let's pray. Lord, we come before you with thanksgiving in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for the day that you have created. We thank you, Lord, for being the God of our universe and the God in Jesus. And how much more we thank you for being the God in your people. Lord, as we celebrate the birthday of Brother Charlie, we're just so thankful for the God that we see in him. I thank you, Lord, for the testimonies of healings that have already taken place. It's good to see Brother Dan and his wife in the service. I thank you for the opportunity for you to manifest yourself again in these prayer requests. And we thank you, Lord, for the joy that we have in knowing that you are more mindful of our needs. Thank you for your grace to us. Thank you for rapturing grace as well as grace for our salvation. Thank you, Lord, for the peace that passes understanding as we don't understand all things. And you'll unfold them to us, too. And we expect that at the service today. Thank you for your grace, Lord, most of all, for just our rapturing grace that is upon us any moment. I pray, Lord God, for your life to manifest itself in these prayer requests and for you to go ahead and consume, Lord, all these things, I pray, in your heart. And we ask you to come, be our guest, Lord, in this service. And we thank you, Lord, for the joy in our hearts, knowing you are more than a conqueror in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Rob. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor tonight with us in the service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming, we pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Well, aren't you glad you're a part of a church that's triumphant?
Yes, sir.
You really are. You're part of that.
Amen.
If you can only picture Moses and Aaron as they went down into Egypt, Moses with a stick in his hand, and Brother Branham said he went down to take over. In the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of all the Egyptians, that was probably the most ridiculous looking thing that they had ever witnessed in their life. But they didn't know what was fixing to take place.
Amen.
God was fixing to take over.
Yes, sir.
The world may look at you and you may look, we may look at each other sometimes. We think, what a pitiful excuse of a child of God I am. Hope you don't think that about somebody else, but let's just say you think that about yourself. What a pitiful excuse I am. But I'm going to tell you something. In you dwells deity.
Amen.
In you dwells God Almighty.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost in you is God Almighty.
Yes.
And we're fixing to take over.
Amen.
We may look pitiful. We may look uneducated. We may look like we ain't got a chance. But God's people's fixing to take over.
Yes,
we're getting ready to live in a new Jerusalem. Aren't you glad about it tonight? Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. I'm talking about a church in the book of Revelation. It's built on the rock, got a firm foundation. It's been through the flood and been through the fire. But one of these days, that church is gonna move up higher. It's a church. It's built on the rock, got a firm foundation. It's been through the blood, been through the fire. But one of these days, that church is gonna move up higher. It's a church, high up, but oh Lord, it's built by the hand of the Lord.
It's the old ship of Zion.
It's the hope
for the lost and dying.
It's
the soul saving station. It's the joy of my salvation. Well, it's the church.
Oh, yes, it is. Revelation, it's built on the rock, got a firm foundation. It's been through the flood, been through the fire, but one of these days, that church is gonna move up higher.
Harm it. Been through the fire, but the fire couldn't burn it. Been fed to the lions, but the lions couldn't eat it. Fought a lot of wars, we never defeated. spirit by the hand of the Lord. It's been through the flood.
Oh, let's sing about
but
it
the
now.
The floods couldn't drown
Glory.
Me. It's been through the fire.
It's been in the fire.
But the fire couldn't burn
oh, thank you,
it.
Father.
They tried to feed it to the lions.
They tried to feed old Daniel to the lions.
But the lions couldn't eat
Glory.
It. Fought a lot of wars, but never defeated.
Because it's the church by a
It's been
by the hand of the Lord. I'm talking about a church in the book of Revelation. It's built on the rock. Got a firm foundation. It's been through the blood. It's been through the fire.
Through the fire for one of these days. This church is gonna It's the old ship of Zion.
It's the hope for the lost and dying.
It's a soul saving station.
Oh, yes, it is.
It's the joy, my salvation.
Yes, it is.
It's the church. Triumphant, oh Lord,
and it's big. Book of Revelation, it's built on the rock. Got a firm foundation. It's been through the flood, it's been through the fire. But one of these days, move up higher. It's the church, triumphant, oh Lord.
It's
built by the hand of the Lord. Yes, it is. Amen. Let's sing that old song. We haven't sung it in a long, long time, but you're clapping your hands really, really, really good tonight. Let's just continue to do that. Can we sing that song, Clap Your Hands? Everybody, clap your hands. You might not be able to sing a lick, but you've got 10 stringed instruments right here. Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise tonight.
When I first found this holiness way, all my night was turned to day, and my friends couldn't understand.
Oh, why we sing and clap my hands.
Clap my hands, I clap my hands. Everybody clap your hands.
Clap your hands, clap your hands. Clap
Everybody.
Your body, clap your hands. Clap your hands, clap your hands. Everybody, clap your hands. Clap your hands, clap your hands.
Everybody,
clap your hands.
When the enemy comes like a flood, I tell him I'm covered by the blood. With my praise, I take my stand. I will sing and I clap my hands.
Oh, yes, we will.
Clap my hands, I clap my hands.
Everybody clap your hands. Clap your hands, clap your hands. Everybody clap your hands. Clap your hands, clap your hands.
Everybody clap your hands.
Oh, say that second verse again.
Enemy comes like a flood.
I tell him I'm covered by God's blood.
With my praise, I take my stand.
Oh, yes, we do.
I sing and shout and I clap my
hands. Hallelujah.
Clap my hands, I clap my hands. Everybody clap your hands.
Clap your hands, clap your hands. Everybody clap your hands. Clap your hands, clap your hands. Everybody clap your hands. Clap your hands, clap your hands.
Everybody clap your hands. Satan is a defeated foe. In the name of Jesus, he's got to go.
He's got to go.
Just let him know you're holding God's hand.
Hallelujah.
You're not going away.
No, clap your hands.
Clap your hands. Clap your hands.
Whoa.
Tonight.
Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say thank God for victory. Praise the Lord. You can be seated tonight. As Brother Harry sings, the dove leads the lamb, as Brother Donnie gets ready to come and bring us the word. I'll never get tired of that song. Will you? Because it's about us, a lot of it, isn't it? Sing it with all your heart, buddy.
Everybody help me sing.
The Spirit and the Bride are saying, come. The elect to be in stir inside their heart. Our uniting time has come. We and the Father are one. Soon we'll be with our Lord forevermore. Oh, the evening light has come. The bride is making preparation. She's hearing the shout of her King. Token's been applied, he's cleaning from inside, and the dove leads a lamb once again. Fine linen, clean and white, is granted to her. She's washed in the blood of God's own Son. With righteousness that's not our own, we stand just before His throne. Where we'll reign with our Lord forevermore. Oh, the evening light has come. The bride is making preparation. child of our King. The token's been applied. He's cleaning from inside. And the dove needs the lamb once again. Oh, the evening light has come. The bride is making preparation. We're still hearing the shout of our King. Your soul has been applied. He's cleaning from inside. And the dove leads the lamb once again.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 23 tonight, if you would. Numbers chapter 23, verse 18. We had no choice of what age that we would live. Had no choice as far as what time frame God would let us live in this age, whether it was the beginning of the age or the end of the age. But personally, if I would have got to choose it, I would have certainly chosen this time. It's the worst of all the ages. The darkest. The most sinful. The most depressing. The most sickness. The most trouble. Which gives me the greatest opportunity to shine. It just depends on how you look at it. Numbers chapter 23, verse 18. We want to look again tonight on the lives of the prophets. This is a little bit of an interjection in between Moses fixing to leave the scene and God fixing to do something great. We run across another anointed one, a man who has the ability to see visions, a man who's gifted, a man who actually can prophesy things that are 3,300 years down the road before they have come to pass. And yet he himself be a soothsayer. Let's listen to the man. And he took up his parable and said, "Rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall not he do it? Or hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed. And I cannot reverse it." And he could have went ahead and said, "As much as I want to. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them." Now, how would you feel if you had hired this man to curse your enemies? And this is what he says about him. Would you want this guy for a revival in your church? Would you? If you're looking for somebody to bless these people out, I mean run them down, talk about them like dogs, do everything in the world, and every time he opens his mouth, God so takes him over that he just speaks word after word after word of blessing. It's one of that and killed him. But you know what? God has a way of taking things that Satan means for our harm, and God will turn it right around and make it into a blessing. Aren't you glad you serve that kind of a God? Let's pray together over the word. How many has a need in your heart tonight, a request you'd like to take before the Lord? Lord Jesus, as we bow our heads to the dust of the earth from whence we came, we thank you, Father, once again for the privilege that we've been given to, we can grant in the house of God. We're thankful, Lord, that as the people of God, we have a desire, Lord Jesus, in this evening time to be able to fellowship under the auspices of the revealed word. We're so grateful, Heavenly Father, that a little bit of religion on Sunday will never take care of the elect. A little bit of Bible reading and rehearsing something that happened 1,000 years ago or two. Lord, we must have spiritual food in due season. We are grateful, Lord. We ask tonight, Father, that you'd speak to us from your words. You saw the hundreds of hands that were uplifted in this place tonight. They signified different needs, different representations of desires and things that the saints want to make mention to you. Father, I have in my hand this prayer cloth, Lord. Sister Lois wanted us to pray over for her father. You see, Lord Jesus, this neighbor asking you, dear God, that you'd move. We've seen you do so many wonderful things through this little ministry of prayer cloths. We just thank you for it. We're just asking you, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Speak to us by your word tonight, Father. And the saints said,
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Unless you look at verse 21 with the right kind of understanding, Balaam absolutely told a bald-faced lie. Testing. 1, 2, 3. Testing. Now listen to this verse. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. How can this be true? Thousands of them have died over idol worship, over complaining, over grumbling. And the dying still ain't done. A bunch more is fixing to die here in just a few days after this event with Balaam. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. How can this be? It makes no logic. It's not even sensible to look at utterance like this and think, there's no way that this can be the truth. It don't even bear record with the places in the scripture. So this man is saying something that seems absolutely contrary to what we know is facts. Unless, of course, there's spiritual understanding. Now, this is why we must remember that when we're dealing with the words of prophets, we have to be careful, even if it's a false one. Now, remember, this inspiration is exactly 100% right. And this man is totally wrong. He himself is a soothsayer. He prays to God. He offers sacrifices to God. And he intermediates with demons at the same time. He talks to God, presents bullocks and rams, and falls back upon magical enchantments at the same time. Don't tell me, friends, the anointing cannot move upon a person. It does not signify they are right with God. Oh my, this is the truth now. Now watch, he announces something that seems almost impossible. The amazing fact that God sees no iniquity in Israel. Now, you know, whenever we look at their history and see almost from the very beginning of them leaving the land of Egypt, there's one revolt after another. There's one problem after another, one rebellion after another. How can this man say this? How can the Spirit of God say this? Now remember though, whenever the revolt would happen, it wasn't all of Israel that was involved. Whenever the idolatry would take place, it wasn't all of Israel that was involved. So there was an Israel that was not Israel. And there was an Israel that was the real Israel. So here he sees speaking what God sees. And what God's seeing is not all that is called Israel. So when God says there is a Jacob that I see no perverseness in, that is exactly the truth. And there is an Israel that I see no rebellion. And nothing they can ever do will ever make me turn my presence away from them. Now, if you can only understand that the same way with you, as the seed of God, that there is, by the preaching of the Word of God, a part of you that needs to be spanked, corrected, and whipped by the Word. And there's a part of you that has never been spanked since you got the Holy Ghost. Your soul ain't never been spanked. Your soul don't never need to be corrected again once it's sealed by the Holy Ghost. It is a complete finished work from the day you are sealed. Now you'll grow in the knowledge and the grace of God, that's right. But at the end of your journey, if you live to be 1,000 years old, you'll be no more sealed at the end of that 1,000 years than you were the day when you got the Holy Ghost. But your flesh can be corrected. Your spirit can be corrected. Is that right? So when you look and you see how that God looks at a part of you and I, and He says you are totally sinless in Christ Jesus. And in the very same service, He may have a minister to say something, and it so smites your heart with such conviction, and you feel so convicted, and you say, how in the world can it be that way? He's speaking to two different parts of you, and two different parts of you need to hear two different kinds of sermons. One part of you needs to hear you're so hid in Christ that the devil can never find you. And if the devil ever gets you, he'll have to be your brother, meaning he'll be saved, sanctified, baptized in Jesus' name, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And there's another part of you on the outside that the devil has access to 24/7. But you, by spiritual discernment, have to discern and divide and separate the difference between you and you, because there is a world of difference between you and you. That real you is that seed of God that was ordained before the foundation of the world. It can no more die than God can die. It can no more sin than God can sin. It can no more perish than God can perish. And the outside of you is unregenerated. Oh my, causes you all kinds of problems. Come on, children, preach with me. And the outside of you gets you down. It gets weary. It gets burdened. It gets depressed. It gets sick. But if you listen to the inside man, he ain't been depressed one day since you got it. He ain't been sick one day since you got it. He ain't never been down, and he never will be. He ain't never worried one bit. He ain't never frustrated one bit. You can't frustrate God. You can't worry God. And that's what the Holy Ghost is in our soul. It is nothing less than deity himself. In that he sees no perversion. In that he sees no sin. In that he sees no wrong. Blessed is that man to whom God will not impute sin to. Humanly speaking, they were failures. But divinely speaking, they were secure as the heavens. Humanly speaking, we are full of faults. Humanly speaking, we're full of mistakes. Divinely speaking, we are as saved as Jesus is. God can no more cast you to hell than he can cast Jesus to hell. Hallelujah. Many sins were observed and punished in this people, but nothing had brought them to the place of the vanquishing point, of the place of separation. Same with Abraham, same with Isaac, same with Jacob, same with me, same with you. Everything we do wrong, we'll pay for it. Don't think because you're elect you can get by with sin. Oh no, if there's anybody that can't get by with it, it is the elect. But just because you mess up and do wrong, oh my, just because you make a wrong turn, it don't mean your soul is lost. When God baptized you with the Holy Ghost and he put that seal on your soul, he said, I am responsible for your soul for the rest of its journey. I'll take the ultimate responsibility from this moment on. I assume your salvation. I assume your sanctification. I assume your walk. I assume your security. I assume your destiny. I assume your name on my hand. I assume your name on my book. I will not let you be lost. I will not lose you. I will not leave you. I will not let you go. I will not let the power of hell draw you away from me. My Father is greater than all, and no man can pluck you out of my Father's hand. He knew you would make mistakes, and yet he assumed that responsibility. Notice Balaam says, he hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord is God. This is why the Lord his God is with him. You're as sorry as any other sinner out here in the world, and so am I. It ain't that we're good, it ain't that we're smart, it ain't that we're intelligent. The Lord our God is with us. That's what our difference, friend. It is the presence of our King. Our flesh is just like theirs. Our flesh will get sick. Our mind will become weary. We can become depressed just like any sinner without the Holy Ghost. It's not that part. The intellectual, it's not the knowledge. It's not even the knowledge of the message. What makes us different from the rest of the whole world is the unseen presence of the immortal, invisible, only wise God. He said, this is the reason the shout of the King is among them. It was under the blood of the Lamb they were brought out of the land of Egypt. It was under a covenant promise that God made to Abraham. I have made my covenant with thee. As for me, my covenant is with thee. Not based upon anything that you do, Abraham. Not based upon anything your seed do. I base it upon myself. It is immutable. It is irrefutable. It cannot fail. Listen to me, children. If you are in Christ Jesus, it is totally impossible for God to lose you. That ain't Baptist eternal security. That's God eternal security. Notice Balaam said the Lord his God is with him. This is their protection and their defense. Not only protection from the Moabites, protection from annihilation from the presence of God. Do you understand? We don't just need protection from cigarettes and protection from drinking and protection from all that. We need protection from the wrath of God that would break loose upon us because of our failures. Don't you see why the church will go through tribulation? She don't have this divine protection that the bride has. The bride has the protection. God cannot see that like you. You look at it and you struggle trying to understand it. But he says, I am with you. I will protect you from my wrath. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Notice as he says, he's not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither have they seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him. And the shout of a king is among them. Now this is a militaristic threat, which is a bad thing to say to King Balak. So you imagine Balak looking around and saying, I didn't know they had a king. I thought all they had was preachers and prophets and priests and arks and all that sort of thing. I didn't realize they had a king among them. And Balaam said, I'm telling you, I heard the shout of the king. Now what was he meaning? It was a military war cry. Amen. In the supernatural realm, when Balaam broke into the realm of the fourth dimension, Balaam must have heard the shout of the king. What was it? It was a war cry. It was, amen. It was Israel's king. Amen. They did not have a natural king. They didn't have a natural king sitting on a natural throne, but their king was God. And when Balaam caught that and heard the voice of God, and he said, I heard the voice of the shout of a king among them, and it was the rallying of the troops. Let me tell you something. Let the world say what they want to say. Let them do what they want to do. Let people try to run us down and do whatever. The shout of the king is among us. Amen. Oh, glory. Lord. The Lord was the warrior who led his people. And when the Lord shouted, look in Psalms 47 and 5. God is gone up with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Believe me, there is no better war cry than the shout of the king. Now we might get together, well, let's have a revival, let's do this, that, and the other. That ain't no war cry. That's a man-made something. But when God is among his people, we could have no better war cry than the shout of the king. Amen. Notice now, Psalmist David said, God has gone up with a shout. And then what about 1 Thessalonians 4? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. That's why the rapture cannot be stopped. Why? What will the resurrection be? The shout of the king among us. What will the rapture be by the devil? It will be the shout of the king. What was it that raised Lazarus from the dead? It was the shout of the king. And if the king had not called Lazarus' name, the general resurrection would have took place. Watch Balaam. He goes on in verse 22 and he said, God brought them out of Egypt. God brought them out of Egypt. And it's amazing, they accused Moses several times of bringing them out. But Balaam, under divine inspiration, said it wasn't Moses that brought them out, it's God. God brought them out of Egypt. He has, as it were, the strength of a unicorn. Now they were a poor, feeble, misguided, and misoriented type of people that hadn't been together really in hundreds of years, had had no great leader among them, and yet here Balaam prophesies and looks back. Notice what prophetic things does, that it'll speak in the future, but many times it'll go backwards this way and bring the link all the way up to the present and then prophetically go into the future. And he said he has, as it were, the strength of a unicorn, being a mighty people, which they say was a rhinoceros. And y'all ever come face to face with a rhinoceros? I ain't talking about the Knoxville Zoo. I'm talking about on the plains of the Serengeti. Or in Kenya and Nairobi? Well, I have several times. And I'm going to tell you something, it is quite something to see. Whenever he's not down in a big pit somewhere at the Knoxville Zoo or some zoo somewhere, and you're right out in his or her turf, whichever they are, and all of a sudden, I'll never forget it, Brother Doug McHughes and Brother Earl Williams and I, and Brother Obadiah Kamwadi, and the guy that we was with, and we was going out through the park there in Nairobi, and coming up, and here was, he said, well, we'll get real close, we'll take you over unless you see a rhinoceros. Well, the rhinoceros didn't really care for us spectators. And I was afraid by the time that rhinoceros got done with us, we was going to be not spectators, but taters. Because when that rhinoceros seen us, it come out to us and started running, got up close to the car. Remember, Earl Williams is in the back. Hear that thing come, boom, boom, boom. I said, Hail Mary, Mother of God, blessed be the friend of God. Brother Earl Williams knocked the fat out of the car. Oh my, what was it? Through that strength, you imagine Balaam sing Israel. Oh, this is really good welcoming news for a king now who's fixing to fight him, ain't it? He's open. He'd say, oh, sure, they're a bunch of termites. You'll just push them right over. No problem. But when Balaam looks at him, he's saying, I've seen him come out of Egypt. And he looked like a big rhinoceros. It was a big unicorn. Didn't have three horns. Didn't believe in the Trinity. Believed in one. Had one horn right up here. Had one horn right up on the front. They're fixing to put some Moabites this way and the Ammonites that way and the Hittites that way. You better run, Balak. You better run. Here they come. Watch him in verse 23. There is no enchantment against Jacob. Let people write whatever websites they want to write. Let them say whatever they want to say. Do anything they want to do. But there is no enchantment. There is no website. There is no books. There is no videos. There is no whatever that will destroy this bride nor this message of the last days. Why? It didn't come from a man. It did not come from Brother Branham. It came from God. The Lord Jesus spoke about this. That Elias would come and restore all things. Argue to Jesus about it. Can you imagine a little bitty old impala standing about that high? Or a little gyrus buck, I've got one there about that tall. Or a little blue docker which stands about this tall. Or say a dick or something that stands about 14 inches tall. Can you imagine him running up and tackling a rhinoceros? All right, buddy, I'm fixing to knock your lights out. While the rhinoceros, he'll just kick him with one little kick and get out of the way. You know, that's about the way all this chatter, 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 chatter. Oh, the prophet made me say, chatter, 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 chatter. I found this over here, chatter, 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 chatter. We found that years ago. We done already knew it was there, and we just went right over the top of it. You little pine squirrel. We ain't got time to listen to your chatter, chatter, chatter. We're too busy flying up here where eagles fly. We're getting ready to leave this world. We ain't got time for your chatter, chatter, chatter. Isn't it amazing that this man under inspiration could speak that which he did not believe and that which he did not want to say? Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob. Neither is there any divination against Israel. Now how would a true prophet of God know about enchantment or divination? Any of y'all know about enchantments? Any of y'all do any enchantments when you pray? What about divination? But you see, this man did. And he tried it. But every time he'd get in the middle of one of his abracadabracadoodle-to-snoodle, whatever Moors, the Spirit of God would take over him. I see Israel. He'd say, oh no, here I go again. I see Israel sitting out there. I see their camp. I see them coming like a rhino. He said, tell me what I wanted to say. Get out of my mouth. I don't want it there. But God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, devil. I'm going to take your soothsayer. I'm going to take him over. And I'm going to prophesy things through him that Moses ain't even said yet. I'm going to prophesy things through him that'll be so valuable and so wonderful. It'll overwhelm you and him. Now, this is quite a confession. You imagine the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God being on Balaam. And the Spirit of God is making him confess what he's tried to do. That he's tried to use enchantments and divinations. And he said, no matter what I do, I can't make them work. A little bit of a hen's tooth, a little bit of a hoot owl's ear, and a little bit of mouse's tongue, and a little bit of rat's tail, and abracadabra, and all this sort of thing. I try it all up, and I just won't make it work. It worked the last time among the Pentecostals, and it worked over in the Baptists. I can't get it to work among these Malachi 4 people. What in the world's going on here? I can't get it to work. Because there is no divination. There is no enchantment. There is no denomination. There is no man. There is no camp. There is no system that will destroy God's word. There is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? I love it when the enemy has to give up and testify. Don't you? Oh my goodness, it's wonderful when you saints stand up and testify, "Boy, the Lord delivered me of this and that, and the Lord done this and that and the other." But man, when God makes the devil get up and said, "Testify about my young'uns." Go ahead, devil. I don't want to. I said, "Testify about my young'uns." And the devil gets up, "Boy, God done a good work in y'all's life. Y'all something, I'm telling you one thing. I had a hold of you all and I done this, that, and other, but God's come on to say, go ahead, devil, testify. Go ahead and say it. God has wrought a wonderful work in our life. God has wrought a wonderful work
this age like none other. Watch him now. The Spirit of God is on him. In verse 24 he says, behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion. The king of beasts. And lift himself as a young lion. Now this word actually, great lion, is an old, aged monarch. There again, they look quite different than Knoxville City. I've seen them on the plains of the Serengeti. I've seen them in South Africa, Zimbabwe, different places in Africa. And it's easy to see which one's the king, because he struts his stuff. I mean, them young guys that come along through there, and boy, when the king's around them, and they got a different demeanor about them. Now, if the king ain't around, they'll go around their manes about that long, them little bitty old whippersnappers, and they'll come around to them, rawr, rawr. But boy, when the king comes, they go pile up under a shade tree. And the old king comes around, and he's got this certain walk about him, and he's looking around this way, and he's looking around that way. He's looking for the back jackal, or the golden jackal, or he's looking for the hyena, which is always his enemy. He's looking for this, that, and the other, and he goes through marking his boundary. Amen. He's marking his boundary, and he's coming through smelling to see if there's been any more lions, any invaders. Glory be to God. Don't you understand what this message does in the last days? It marks the boundary. Boundary of the king. He goes around and he marks the boundary. It's not us who separated ourselves. It was the king who come among us, and he marked his boundary by the word and said, don't do this and don't do that and look different. That wasn't Brother Branham that gave us that. It was the king himself. You are a separate people. You are my wife. You are my bride. Don't go out there fooling with the rest of the world. Don't you flirt with the rest of the world. What was it, Brother Scott? It was the king. Hallelujah. It was the king marking in his boundary and said, back off, devil. Get out of here. This is my pride. This is my pride. This is my queen. The people shall rise up as a great lion. Lift himself as the young lion. The predatory lion. Most of you know it's the lionesses that do the killing. Oh, the big male will kill occasionally, but for the most part, it's the females who do the stalking, the hunting, and the killing. And then when they get the wildebeest down or whatever it is, then the king arrives. And when the king gets there, they back out of the way and let him eat first. Amen. Don't feel bad sometimes, lioness, that we have to do part of the killing down here live to see. We got to do some fighting and some slaying. Come on now. What we're doing it for? On behalf of our king. We are his horns in this age. Down through these ages, a horn in every age, and we are the accumulation of seven ages in the last day. We are the Lamb's protection in this hour. And as long as I've got voice, I'm going to give my voice in the utterance of the protection of the Word of God and say, he is the King. The devil may be the God of this age, but my Father is the God of eternity. Hallelujah. Oh my, the people shall rise as a great lion and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink of the blood of the slain. Now boy, this is really encouraging for Dr. Balak. Thank you, Balaam. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We brought you over here to make you a bishop, and what have you done now? You've messed up the whole program. Now let's judge this man for a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 21. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, it'll come to pass. This is the thing which the Lord has not spoken, but the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. Now, if we're going to judge Balaam just by prophecy, this scripture alone, we would have to reckon him to be a true prophet of God. Because everything he says in the name of the Lord came to pass. And some of it's still coming to pass to this very day. So if we're going to judge him by this alone, but how was Balaam known? Not just by prophecy, but by his doctrine. Verse 25, chapter 23 of the book of Numbers. And Balak said unto Balaam, neither curse them at all, nor bless them. Don't say nothing. Don't bless, don't curse, don't say nothing. And Balaam answered and said unto Balak, tell not I thee, saying, all the Lord speaketh, that I must do. It ain't that I want to, but I ain't got no choice. Devils and wicked men are made at times to do God's will. And Balak said unto Balaam, come, I pray thee, and I'll bring thee into another place. Now he's a heathen, remember. So the heathens believed that there were gods of the mountains, gods of the hills, gods of the valleys, gods of the rivers. So he began to think that maybe Yahweh was a God that could only bless in certain spots. So if he could change the location, I believe he's still got a lot of the heathens in Christianity. Because as long as they're on the mountain, oh, glory to God, he's the God. Oh, hallelujah. And boy, as soon as they hit a valley, oh, Lord, where's he at? Where's he at? Are y'all heathens? Do y'all not think your God is the God of your valleys as well as your mountains? Do you think your God is not the God when the time of sickness and depression and all kind of... Or do we just think that he's the God when everything is going good? Come on, talk to me. Tell me. Are we heathen or like the Syrians or like this man here? So what we think, well, yeah, whenever all the bills are paid and everything's going good and my business is doing good, the wife's doing good, the kids are doing good, we ain't got no major problems going on, all the questions is solved in my mind, I don't like understanding on this and that. Oh, yes, he's God. But what about when you don't understand? When you don't understand what you're going through and you look at it, is he still God then? To many of us, he's not. We lose our joy, we lose our resolve, we lose our peace. Come on, children, it's time we realize he's the God of trials. He's in the God in the midst of down, he's in the midst of up. Wherever you are, he's the God of all locations. Unless we're heathens. Now watch Balak. Balak said unto Balaam, come, I pray thee, I will bring thee unto another place. Peradventure it will please God that thou mayest curse me them from thence. Now I'm going to change places. And maybe God's got a weak spot in this particular place. And once we get over there, God's favor will change from them and it'll come favorably toward me. What it's all about? Location. Oh, I would to God we could get that tonight. I would you could understand no matter where you are, in or out, up or down, whenever you're so sick you don't know what to do, when you prayed and you prayed and you had no answer, he's God right then as much as he is whenever you pray in 5 minutes you get the answer. Abraham waited for 25 years for God to bring his promise to pass. Was God the same in the delay as he was when it was fulfilled? Exactly the same. Superstitiously, Balak feels like a move in the location could change the result. You never know. Bad move, Balak. The best is yet to come. And Balak brought Balaam unto the top of Peor that looketh toward Jeshimon. Peor is the name of a mountain in Moab, so called from a gap or an opening in it, where the idol Baal was worshipped. And from thence it had its name, Baal Peor. So he brings him up to this high place. Now, Balaam has seen thousands times thousands of the children of Israel. Now he's going to bring him where it's going to be a little place like this. A valley sort of between two peaks coming up like this. Limited view. Limited view of the people. Now he's changed his thinking from the soothsayer has to look at the whole thing. Now he's thinking maybe he's seeing too many of them. He needs to see just a handful. Just pick out a smaller number of them and maybe that'll work on it too. So he looketh toward Jeshimon. And this word is waste, wilderness, desert, or desolate place. How many has ever been there? All right, so now here Balaam is looking at the children of Israel, and he's looking at a section of them. Now remember, their camp is so large, it was 12 miles by 12 miles. It took that big of a camp to set them all up. So he looks down through there and he looks and sees them, but he sees around them is a waste place. Desolate, dry, desert. Anybody's ever been there? What was you going through, Jeshimon? You couldn't say it, but that's where you was. Now Balaam said unto Balaam, build me here 7 altars and prepare me here 7 bullocks. 7 rams. Now remember, 7 is the right number. But in the sense of worship, he's merging heathenism with the worship of the one true God. Abraham never built 7 altars. Jacob never built 7. Isaac never built 7. Moses never built 7. So he's blending heathenism in with the one true God. Oh my. And Balak did as Balaam had said and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. Now it seems right. But just because it seems right don't mean it is. Amen. And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not as at other times to seek for enchantments. But he set his face toward the wilderness. Now, here something actually happens to Balaam. He makes up his mind that whatever his enchantments was that he was using before, there's no need to do it. Because God ain't going to hear it. He's praying to God, saying if God will do it, and then he goes to his enchantment and filling with demons and all that. So he said, no, I ain't going to do that no more. I'm going to lay that demon stuff aside, that demonology and all that worship, that enchantment stuff. I'm going to lay it aside. Because I'm done convinced God ain't going to hear it. And the demon's power ain't over the power of God. Now watch what he done, but he set his face toward the wilderness. Now this was good, in a sense. He's now perceived that God is not going to curse these people. And when he does, it makes a way for a real profound word to be said. When Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not as other times to seek for enchantments. But he set his face toward the wilderness where the people of Israel are laying. Now they're camped in order. Now listen to this. And Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes. I hope to God that our enemy sees us the same way. But I gotta wonder sometimes, friend, does our enemy see us in our tents? Or does it see us over in our neighbor's tents? Busybodies over here and doing this and that and the other. Notice what this man sees. When he looks down through this desolate place, when he looks into this wilderness, the wilderness did not bring disarray among the people of God, but he saw every man in his tent, under his flag, under his insignia, or his ensign. Now remember, there were 4 main tribal heads. And there were four symbols, the eagle, the ox, the man, the lion. And then there were three tribes that were subdivided under each one of those standards. And here they were, 12 miles north to south, 12 miles east to west. And Balaam looks, and as he goes across through there, and he begins, his eyes focus first, the natural dimension. His eyes focus, and what does he see? He sees the army of God. Can you imagine what a difficult thing this would have been? 12 miles of people this way and 12 miles of people that way, and yet every one of them in order, in their tents.
Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Notice, and Balaam lifted up his eyes and he saw Israel abiding in his tents.
The senses of Balaam, his hearing, his voice, his eyes. Listen now. God comes in and comes upon him. Just say it this way. God comes upon him in such a profound way. His senses become lost to himself. His mouth becomes a total mute. His own desires become hushed by the presence of God.
If God could do this to a soothsayer, what in the world could God do with a real prophet of God? For the time being, God, the supreme master, is now controlling this human being. Why would that be hard for us to believe? If God could take human words and put them in a donkey's mouth, and for a few minutes change that donkey brain to a brain that could understand and carry on a conversation with a man, why is it hard for us to believe that God could take a man and put God's words in his mouth? If God could put human words in a donkey's mouth, could not God put God's words in a human's mouth? Now, when God put the human words in the donkey's mouth, did it make the donkey a human? Well, if God put his words in a man, does that mean that man was right with God? Absolutely not. It meant that God used that man momentarily for his own purpose to do something that was so profound. I don't know about you. I don't want God just to use me. I want God to live in me. I don't want just to be an instrument, Brother Charlie, that God will put his words in me. I don't want it to be that way. I want him to live in me, not come and go. Notice how Moses says this. And Balaam lifted up his eyes. Now watch, God is now mastering the human being. Oh my. By voice and by vision, God takes over this soothsayer. And the Spirit of God came upon him. Now notice the other places that we read about Balaam, the Bible says God put a word in his mouth. But this time it says the Spirit of God came upon him. But notice how it says it different for a true prophet of God. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto Ezekiel. And the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Or the word of the Lord came unto Daniel. The word of the Lord did not come unto Balaam in that way. God put the word in the donkey, the soothsayer's mouth. You got a four-legged donkey and a two-legged donkey. Right. Now watch. So the Spirit of God came on him. Not in grace, but in gifts. Not in mercy, but in prophecy. Lord, have mercy, children. You ought to be so happy tonight that the Spirit of God has not come upon you just in gifts. The Spirit of God has not just come upon you in prophecy. But the Spirit of God has come upon you and pardons your sins. Oh my, if prophecy comes, that's wonderful. But brother, sister, I'll tell you one thing. I'd rather have God's grace and God's mercy any day out of the week than gifts and prophecy. The Spirit of God comes upon this man in a prophetic utterance. Now watch in verse 3. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor has said, the man whose eyes are open. Now imagine it was something similar to what I heard today in Louisville, Mississippi in 1964. You back there, you sitting on the end, third from the end. The woman. God, she's going to miss it. Help me. Sister so-and-so, you went to the doctor and the doctor said thus and so on. Wow! cry screams. She calms down a minute. Would you take your hand and lay on the person sitting beside you? She's got so-and-so. Would you do me a favor? Lay your hand on the so. I mean, he goes down through a row of 8 or 9 or 10 people. And of course, according to the soothsayers and, you know, all the gainsayers and all that, every one of them is false. That's why every Pentecostal preacher wanted to be like Brother Branham, because all of that was false. I don't know how many Pentecostal preachers that I knew had Brother Branham's anointing, or at least they said they did. They wanted it so bad, Brother Darrell, because Brother Branham was false. Because none of the healings was real and it was all fake. And all. Come on, children. Marilyn Hickey's on YouTube with her bob hair and her pained face and her earrings and all that sort of thing, testifying how that she could not have a baby. And through a word from the prophet of God's lips, God gave her a child. There's one after another, not us message people, but Baptists and Methodists and Lutherans and Pentecostals. God will make them testify of the greatness of His gift. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh my. If God could do this to a false prophet, why would we marvel that God would be able to take a man in His hand and tell people, I see you've got 3 steps going up to your house, 1602 West 5th Avenue. You live in so-and-so, your doctor so-and-so, he's heavyset guy wearing glasses. Why in the world can people struggle with such things? Do you understand what it is? It's the anointing of the last day. Oh, you ought to be so grateful that you can believe. You can believe. Oh my. In the Bible, Jesus did that one time to individuals and it turned the city upside down. We've got it thousands of times over and people still don't believe it. Oh my. And the Spirit of God came on him. Not in grace, but in gifts. Not in sanctification, but in prophecy. Not in deliverance, but through an anointing to use him to speak his words. And then when he gets done, the Spirit will go off of him and he'll go back to his house. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, has said, the man whose eyes are open. Notice how this man has even the prophetic speech, speaking in parables, in symbols, in parabolic form. He took up his parable, prophetic speech, with a loud voice, and said, the man whose eyes are open. Now he speaks of his perception of divine truth. Now he's in that dimension. God has so got him, Brother Jim. This is what's infallible. It is absolutely so perfect that God could anoint his men, and when this would move on them, that was totally infallible. No mistakes, no errors. It's like a puppet. And God just... whoosh. Thus saith the Lord, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. Amen. Glory to God. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, the tongue of the dumb shall sing, the eyes of the blind shall come open. And then God's going, whoosh. And then the prophet reeled out from under the inspiration. What did I say? Was that right? Was what he told you? What was it? I don't remember what it was. Oh, there it is. There it is. I see blood dripping between me and you. You went to the doctor. You got sugar diabetes. But let's take a trip to Calvary, shall we? For a blood transfusion. Then he would pull right back in the vision again. Then it would come back out. It's like he was stepping from the first, second, third. Then he would go back into the fourth. Then he would come back into the elements of time. Then he would go back into the fourth. What was that on the next patient, or brother, sister, whoever it was? And you can imagine then the people that just think, what's the matter with the man? He acts like some kind of witch or some kind of spooky thing. Why? They never understood. You're a man that is a soothsayer, moving under an influence that is so profound. And God just says, speak. So he says, I looked and I saw. But he said, I didn't want to see it, but I couldn't help it. And I know I'm fixing to say something good and I don't want to say it good. But I'm a puppet. And I can't say nothing other than what the man says. Whatever he says is what I've got to say. I'm trying to stop it. Exhibit. His power is greater than my power. And I can't. I'm just stuttering.
Oh, glory.
He has said, which heard the words of God. The man whose eyes are open. He has said, who has heard the words of God. Which saw the vision of the Almighty.
Now he's not seeing the person of God, but he's seeing the vision of the Almighty. Falling into a trance. Having his eyes open. So here he's standing there looking at you. I see you coming home from school. You're a little girl. You've got on a yellow checkered dress. There's a dog behind you. You're running. You run up on the porch. You run through the screen door. Made you afraid. You've had a fear on you all of your life. Is that right, sister? You imagine you're one time before Elijah. And he goes back and sees you as a little girl running from a dog. You're one time before Elijah and you're standing up before him. And says, you got severe constipation. You're really constipated. It's a phobia. It's a fear of wintertime. You have a fear of wintertime. A phobia. And when that comes upon you. Now you imagine, who would ever make that connection? Don't you see why that gift was so profound? It would go into the spirit and the spirit communicated with the body. And what was it? Cause, effect, and cure. We know what the cure is, but you've got to be able to put the cure on the right realm. If we put the cure on the effect side, that's why the lasting results don't come we want it to. But if we're able to put the cure on the cause, the effects will disappear. That's why the visions are so profound. You imagine one time before a prophet of God and he says, sir, you're poor. You're poor. You're a mechanic. You got carbon monoxide poisoning working on a car. And it made you sick and now you're afraid to go back to work. And you're very poor. Come here, my brother. Let me lay my hands on you. Now you said, that's crazy. It might have been crazy for you. For that man, it was his livelihood. For that man, Brother Darrell, it was the very thing that man needed. You imagine a lot of these people never told them how spiritual they were, how deep they were, how they understood the seven seals, how they understood the seven thunder. But he went right to the main cause of the problems of their life. I'm so glad. Amen. The word is still a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Oh, friend, thank God for a prophet who's visited us in this generation. What would happen to him? Like with Balaam, fell right into a trance. Yes, sir. Oh, falling into a trance. Falling into a trance. Falling. This is the only way he knows to describe it. It's like he fell into a realm. And he's looking around and it must be scary. When I was a kid, I can remember it as well as, my goodness, Mom and Daddy had a television, and there used to be a television show on there, The Twilight Zone. Uh-oh. I don't remember very many of them shows, but there's one I remember. And it was of a little boy or a little girl, well, both actually, but there was a place by their bed. And one of them fell into that wall. And fell into another world. I've been scared of walls ever since. I'm only teasing. But you see, there's something about us that we know, Lord have mercy. We know there's a world. We know there's another world. And it's like it's just that simple that it's beyond the wall. And you'd go beyond that wall. And it was a world that you never knew existed. A world you never knew there. And here Balaam is describing it. I fell into this trance. It's like he's falling through this wall. I mean, he comes through, goes like this, he's just... He has no ability to say anything.
It's like his own capability of thinking human thoughts has now been stripped of him. This is why God needs prophets. Pastors can't do this. Evangelists can't do this. Teachers can't do this. This is why the infallibility of the vision is so profound. That's why there can be no mistakes to it. Visions and words that come from God through his prophets will never fail. Now the prophet might see it and tell what he saw, and then he might come back and say, well, I'm not sure what it meant. It might have been this or it could have been that. I don't know exactly what it meant. That part about it is not, it's not infallible. But what he saw, what God pulled him into that realm is infallible. And the interpretation when God gives it will be infallible as well. So he falls through the wall, as we'd say. He falls into the wall. It's like he's in a whirl. That he hadn't been there for 2 times. He's looking at me. Oh God. Oh God. Where am I? His hearing is now captured. His voice is now captured. His eyes. And he fell through the wall. Whew. And he goes to looking around. Where am I? Where am I? Now God says, I've got you. Speak. Speak. So the puppet says, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. Now he was not in the capability of thinking, where's my divination? Where's my enchantment? He's crossed over nearer to where a true prophet stands now. Now it's like he's fell through the wall, as it were. His enchantments are not even near. His divination is not even near. He's in that realm to where he's just there. He's a mute. So God just utters, and when God stops, he stops. His mind is in such control that he can no longer wonder now about, how can I make this money? How can I do this? How can I do that? It's just like he's so under control. He's the puppet over the hand. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob. And he waits for the next phrase. And thy tabernacles, O Israel. I don't know, I could be wrong about it. But I just kind of wonder if that ain't the way it'll be one day. When the change starts coming over the bride, that we'll move into a realm. We think the rapture is this, and we'll try that, and we'll think it's this way and that way, but I just wonder if one day we'll arrive at that spot, Brother Terry, and all of a sudden we'll realize it's another power beyond our control. And in a moment our hair comes back, and the gray leaves, and the wrinkles is out of our face. The puppet. Praise God. Notice he says, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles. Can you imagine God allows this man, while he's in this fourth dimension, to peer into the future? And he sees the children of Israel in the land of Canaan, settle down, every one with his vine, every one with his orchard. He sees them in adoption. There ain't no way Balak is going to stop this. Oh, children, let me tell you, you have already been seen in the eighth day. We have already been seen in our theophanies. I believe the prophet of God saw a representation of our identity when he was carried beyond the curtain of time. And then voices answered back, if Paul's group goes in, mine will too. I believe we have representation there. We are resting on that. We are resting on that. That's why I'm not scared of what people say. I'm not scared of whatever more they want to bring up. I have an identity beyond the curtain of time that goes beyond your misunderstanding. You imagine his eyes. His eyes are now broken beyond human vision. His voice is broken beyond human articulation. His mind is so captured that he can't even think human thoughts. And he says, oh Israel, how goodly are your tents and your tabernacles. And he sees them spread over the land of Canaan. And he sees their houses, their habitations, their tents, their vineyards. He sees them laughing. He sees them rejoicing. He sees their children. Glory to God. I don't know how you take it when you listen to Future Home. But I listen at it and I see it a preview of where I'm going. When I hear that prophet talk about it in Future Home, and again, question and answer 64, and I hear him talking about the water of life coming out from under the throne of God as it sets right up on top of the city, and them houses coming down through there, and the water will start at the top and trickle down through every backyard and come out under from under your house and come down in your neighbor's backyard on down the pyramid, and guess where you get to live? Guess where you get to live? You never lived in the bottom age. You never lived in the middle age. You lived up here on top. Guess where you get to live in that city? Oh, hallelujah. Whenever I hear, you can say what you want to say. Well, Brother Donnie, he got part of them words from Schofield. Yes, he sure did. And he got part of them from John and part of them from James and part of them from Peter. Amen. He never come to bring us all new things. He come to tie up all them loose ends. Luther had some truths. Wesley had some truths. Oh, you mean that don't stagger you? Why in the world should it? He come to tie up all them loose ends and make it more clear. I believe by vision he preached that Future Home and brought a clear view to the bride. That's my house we're talking about and yours. Let me close. Verse 6. Now you imagine he's still in the trance. As the valleys are spread forth, long and broad, lying between several mountains. As the valleys are spread forth, as gardens by the riverside, laid out in delightful manners. So he sees trees. He sees flowers. He sees vines. Moses ain't even got to see this yet. Don't you see what God can do if he wants to? These people that are blasting this message, if Almighty God wanted to, he could make these people that are making these videos, when they get their camera all ready and their makeup on and their hair all combed and their towel set, and they get ready with all their fault findings, the sheets and all that, and they get ready to say, now we will have, God could start saying, thus saith the Lord, I sent William Branham to the earth. He is my prophet. Sure, he could do it. If he could use one donkey, he can use another. Sure, he could do it. Can he? Absolutely. He's got power over nature. If he wanted to do it, Brother Darrell, he could do it. But he let them go on and beat the brains out and let them do whatever they want to do. But But you know what? He's given me and you the honor to be able to stand and say, yes, sir, this is a message of the hour. Yes, sir. Amen. I don't want to hold my peace, my brother. Balaam, you hang tight. We'll be back with you next week. If God can make a false prophet so lock him into that world to where he can't even say it, he can't even inject his own words, his dislikes of this people, what about a true prophet of God? Now, if every word Brother Branham would have said that way, then every word he had ever said would have been infallible. But it wasn't. That's why he'd quote things and he'd quote the wrong book or say the wrong chapter. Well, that stumbles me, does it? Well, does it stumble you when you read in the book of Matthew that Matthew said that Jeremy the prophet said that they would sell him for 30 pieces of silver? When Jeremy the prophet never said that. Zechariah said it. But Matthew quoted it as Jeremiah. Oh, you didn't know that, did you? Well, when you get time, I'll produce another 400 or 500 for you. Well, if there's that many, I'll quit serving God. Go ahead and do it now. You ain't no believer no how. If you got to pull it through up here and make sense, it will never make sense. And that's why the devil's going to take a bunch of these people who are leaving the message in. They're not just going to leave the message, they're going to leave God. Matthew says, there was one man that was healed. And his name was Bartimaeus. Luke says there was two. Ah. Well, Brother Donnie, how could there be one and two? What if there was two, there could be one. And if Matthew chose to emphasize the one, it doesn't mean that there wasn't two. But it's without understanding. And people try to take the carnal mind and figure it out. Oh my, Brother Brown was a false prophet. He said this and this and this and this. And I'll tell you one thing. Men sitting over their short-legged britches on a little girly-looking thing. Trying to sit there and interpret the word. Women with their lipstick on writing articles about Brother Branham. You bob-haired, painted-faced Jezebel. Trying to tell Elijah how to preach. Well, glory. Oh, Brother Donnie, you understand it all? No. Goodness, no. As a matter of fact, the more I read, the more I understand I don't understand. And it makes me so happy. Because the less I understand, the more I have to believe. Which means I need revelation. Which means I'm a son of God. You see, I'm not educated. I don't have a bachelor's degree or none of them degrees. So I can just believe his word. If he said it, I just simply believe it. Aren't you glad you can believe it? Let's pray together. How wonderful he is to us, friends. Lord Jesus, how we thank you tonight. We simply have to take your word for these instances, Lord. None of us here is prophets, or hopefully none of us are soothsayers. So we don't understand this realm. It's hard for us to imagine that you would take a man of such character and speak these great prophetic utterances through him. But you were proving your point. But Lord, it makes us to know if you could do this with a man who was not even consecrated, how much more could you do with a prophet of God who was consecrated, called, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and directed by a pillar of fire and an angel coming at his birth. How much more could you do through him? Then, Lord, it would be so great
And the miracles would be so many. And the discernments would be so many in number. Oh my. The believers didn't need that many in the first place. But it'll make the blasphemers even worse. The real believers, if the woman at the well could be told a couple of things, and she'd say, come and see a man that told me everything I've done. Is not this the Messiah? If Philip went to call Nathanael and said, come see who we found. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. He said, can there be anything good come out of Nazareth? He said, come and see. When he come up into your presence, and you said, behold an Israelite, in whom there is no guile. And he answers and says, Rabbi, how did you know me? He said, before Philip called you when you were under the tree, I saw you. It didn't take 15 people in a row. It didn't take 3 or 4 years or 8 or 10 years and 2,700 discernments. But he said, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, the King of Israel. Lord Jesus, I believe there's that same caliber of people standing in this building tonight. We didn't need all them discernments. But there's also the same caliber of people that was them priests in that day. This man is Beelzebub. He does this by the prince of the devils. And you said, I forgive you for that. But when the Holy Ghost comes and does the same thing, there will be no forgiveness in this world nor the world to come. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for the light, Lord. Lord, as I read it the other day where the prophet said, go ahead and call me a Beelzebub or blasphemer. He said, call me that wicked name and blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Lord Jesus, keep us by your grace, Father, I pray. Prophecy is a wonderful thing, but Lord, I'd rather know you in grace, in mercy, than to be able to stand and prophesy. Oh my, how Balaam was able to stand there and give such utterance. But he wasn't given a believing heart. He could speak such great things, but he never got grace and pardon from his sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for making yourself known to me through grace and mercy and pardon. Hallelujah. How many loves him tonight for that? Many of you have never prophesied. You've never foreseen the future. But God has made himself known to you by grace and mercy and called your name and forgiven you and loosed you of your sins. Praise God. And we will rise up as the old lion and we will drink the blood as the young lion. We will push our enemies as the rhinoceros. We will be planted by the rivers. Hallelujah. He will pour out his buckets of water upon our place of habitation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we worship you tonight, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Do you love him, children? Let's just love him just a little bit now before we go. No, your children have school and they have to get up early in the morning and all that, but let's just take just a few minutes before we dismiss. Oh my, I wouldn't feel right without giving him a little bit of loving back. Hallelujah. He's ministered to us and spoke to us by his word. Now let's just focus right back on him for just for a couple minutes anyway. Lord Jesus, we adore you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, we so appreciate you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's sing this. We'll prepare to go. God bless you. I love you, saints in the Lord. I shall forever.
lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. Yes, Lord, how marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. Oh, He looked beyond my fall, saw.
God bless you, saints. I love you in the Lord. Let's sing it together. You can be dismissed.
I shall have a Father. He knows my heart. Before even time began, my life was in His hand. He knows my name.
Sister Linda Phillips is in the hospital and she's been really sick. The doctors have been doing some tests and so far I don't guess they've exactly found out what's going on with her. But we just believe tonight the Lord can move forward. Right now. Right now. They've done scans on different types of things. She's been really sick, vomited, nausea, not sure if it's gallbladder, appendix, what it exactly is. But our Father surpasses every scan. Let's just agree together right now. Lord Jesus, we're several miles away from Franklin Woods Hospital. But Your presence is just as real right there as it is right here tonight. Dear God, You see the need of our sister. Lord God, the doctors have done scans and tests and this and that. Lord, I'm asking You in the name of Jesus that You'd move for our sister. Lord, we know that sometimes the devil can hide. But Lord God, in the name of Jesus, he can't hide from Your eyes. Father, would You move for her, Lord? Lord, not only do we pray for her, but maybe others tonight streaming the service. Maybe others right here in the building. They didn't come up for prayer, but they've got a need in their life. Maybe those that's got cancer or the kinds of diseases or a companion that's lost or a child that's causing all kinds of problems. Lord, whether they're in Norway, whether they're in Africa, whether they're in Canada, wherever they are. Lord, as they're streaming tonight down in Georgia and all over the world, in the name of Jesus, we join our faith together as part of the family of God. Oh, Jesus, may Your presence, I pray, come. Even in the living room or on the smartphone as they're driving down the road. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we call upon the name that's above every name. We call upon the name that heaven is named after and the family and earth is named after. That name that the bride is named after. Lord God, the name of Jesus, would You send healing virtue to Your people tonight, Lord? Perform deliverance, I pray, Father. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, glory to God. Praise the Lord. Do you believe He knows your name? He knows your name. He knows your need. He knows your desire. Exactly what you have need of. Oh, praise be to God. Amen. What you got? Hallelujah.
Take up your cross.
Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Glory.
Take up your cross.
Take up your cross.
Each and every day.
Hallelujah! Don't be ashamed, children. So let the way.
Jesus. Take up your cross each and every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know Him. Count on the cost. Take up your cross. Just to know that the Lord has saved your soul. Have you forgotten just what you need to do? Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day.
Every day.
Don't be ashamed to say that you know Him. Count the cost. Take up your cross. Follow, sing it as you go. God bless you. Whoa. Take up your cross and follow Jesus in those bloody footprints. Take up your cross. Take up your cross.